You are listening to the Redemption Church Podcast with Pastor Daniel Williams. We hope you are encouraged and blessed by this message.
We're going to be going and continuing our series on Christmas. It's Christmas time. I don't know if you knew that. Okay. And we're going to be focusing on grace. We're doing a little three-week series on Christmas and grace. And I know what you're thinking right off the bat. Those are some awesome bright red shoes, huh? Anyone notice? Yeah, Rick did. Yeah, Supras, yeah. You even know the brand. All right, so here's the deal. I'll just walk a little bit over here. Bam. Just give you a little action. No. The reason I'm wearing these, the Lord is sort of like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you're going to wear them. Well, here's the deal. Christmas time, people give gifts. Someone gave me this as a gift. Robbie and Tiara, they actually drove up to New Orleans and then to Atlanta. But before they left, Robbie goes, hey, man, I left a little something special on your front porch. I go, all right. So I go home, and it's just like these things. Now, these are actually shoes. They're not skis. They're not boats. They don't have their own zip code. I know they're large and in charge. But I thought it'd be festive, you know, little red shoes. And that's sort of a fun thing about Christmas is we can, like, be festive. We can enjoy grace and gifts and presents. And here's the crazy thing is, when you think about Christmas, you probably think about presents more than you do grace. Don't you? Like, I mean, presents are gifts, and you probably think about that. But we're talking a little bit, it's a little bit shift. It's not just a present or a gift that we're talking about. We're talking about grace. And last week we talked about how grace is unmerited. It's unearned. Because, you know, like, you usually give gifts to people you like. So Robbie and Tiara, they like me. I made an impact in their life. I give them gifts. They give me, you know, stuff like that. They're cool. But grace is something where actually you don't have to like that person. You don't have to deserve it. It's just sort of unmerited. It's unfavorable. It's just sort of like, boom, here it is for you. And, you know, the only appropriate thing I told my wife, the only appropriate thing for a gift of grace is to rock it like you have it. You know, just so you got to. It may not be the most fat. I mean, you're naming the name brand. I'm like, I don't know, man. We're like, are these from Walmart? I don't know. They're just cool. They're bright red. They have to be awesome, right? But I bet that when you think about Christmas, you probably don't think about grace. You think about presents, and you probably think about this dude right here. Come on. Look at that. Santa. Isn't that awesome? Come on. I know some of you guys are going to be like true Christians, be like, I can't believe you're bringing Santa in church and all this different stuff. Come on, get over it, man. In the world, but not of the world. I'm trying to make a point here, all right? I'm not going to hate on Santa. You know, my kids, they take their pictures with Santa. It's sort of fun to have, like, this fable, this mystery, this imagination of our whole culture. Just think about this. Our whole culture is now focusing on the same thing. Like, we even know principles from the Word of God where it says if people dwell in unity, there's a blessing. And there is something special about Christmas, a blessing, like, because people are like, oh, Santa, and this and that, and presents, and a tree, and, oh, my gosh, chestnuts. I've never had them before, but they're in a lot of songs, you know? And, I mean, we just all, like, have this great imagination, and this dude right here, man, look at that. Just looking at you like all just happy and stuff. However, let me just say, biblically speaking, Santa is the worst legalist I've ever met in my life. Okay, now you may not know about this because we're talking about grace and we're talking about Christmas. Most people think about Christmas and they think about presents because they love someone or they, you know, if their parents didn't get them a gift, they would get upset because you have to get gifts. You ever do that? We did that recently. This week someone came over to our house and we gave them a gift and they didn't give us anything. And then they just got upset at us because we gave them a gift. But because they didn't have a gift for us, they were mad at us. You should have told us you were getting a gift. That's just something a little special. It's cool. It's just a mark out of coffee. We got it for free. We're really re-gifting it for you. Here you go. They didn't know that, but, you know. But you know how you get, like, upset? Because if you give a present, you want, like, it's like it's a earn. You give a present, and then I get a present, and then it's sort of like this. But grace doesn't work that way. And a lot of people, because we're, like, happy and giddy in the season and Santa, and it's so awesome, but the Bible doesn't work that way with grace. Santa's a legalist. Think about this. You better watch out. You better not cry. Better watch out. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. Listen, if you're mean, if you're upset, if you're a bad little child, you know what you get what Santa gives you? A piece of coal. This is the worst parent behavior modification ever, right? They're saying, okay, if you're bad, then you get nothing. But if you're good, then you get. That's not what I'm talking about for grace. And we have to understand that a lot of people, because they wrap the culture in Christmas and Jesus and Santa and presents, and but the Word of God, it said, divides. It splits. It's bringing forth truth like a sword, just cutting through our emotions and cutting through everything and just speaking forth truth. And the Bible says that God is completely gracious, and He isn't like Santa. So when we don't deserve it, He still gives us gifts. And when we do deserve it, He still gives us gifts. Because it's not based on us, it's based on who God is. And last week we talked about how God is a great gift giver. He's like that person where you want to go to their house, where they're just going to give you like that $100 gift card, and you're going to give them like a $5 gift card. You know what I'm saying? Like, He's that gift giver that gives gifts that are amazing. And last week we talked about Matthew chapter 1, how God gave five gifts through that text. He gives the gift of prophecy. He says something that comes true later, just so that we can know His power, know that He is God, so we could trust Him. He gives us the gift of His Word, that we can be guided by His Word and know what it says, know His will. He gives us gifts like miracles with the virgin birth, so we can know and understand His power. He gives us gifts like trials. You realize Mary and Joseph were betrothed, and there was a big trial. Jesus didn't get born in the hill, and He got born in the manger, the stable. It wasn't even in the inn. And it was a big trial, but it was a way where God can come through and He can show up in their life. And finally, the greatest gift that God has ever given us is just Himself. God becoming a man, living a perfect life we couldn't live so that we could now have life in Him. So now we can be perfectly forgiven and walk in unity of Him. And Santa, just simply put, is just bad behavior modification. The Bible tells us that the law never works, that people don't respond to black and white law. Don't. So quit being negative. You can't do it. The Bible says, we talked about grace last week, Titus 2, verse 11, for the grace of God has appeared. The grace of God, the gift, the unmerited grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people. And this grace trains us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and live a self-controlled, upright, godly lives in the present age. Romans 2:4 talks about how God's loving kindness leads to repentance. That it's by His sweet grace that we actually fall in love with God, want to do what He says. Yes, there is truth. Yes, there is a wrong and a right, but God just pours out His love upon us, and we love because He first loved us. So we respond to this grace, this gift, and we're shocked, and we're in awe, and it's amazing. And God, man, He gives grace to us. That's something that has to be comprehended, that we have to actually understand. It's not this big theology, this big, oh, that's a great truth in the Bible. It's something that is for today, for us, because Romans 11:6 says, if we can earn it, it's not grace. If you could do a work to get that gift, then it's not grace. But God just liberally loves us, cares about us. Peter says, you can pray to Him, talk to Him, cast your care upon Him, for He cares for you. God gives us grace. John 1:16 says, even for the believer, it's by God's grace upon grace upon grace. It's like this continual thing that we're sustained as believers, even. People that trust in Jesus, that are saved. It's not like God died for our sins and now we have to pay Him back. It's like God died for our sins and now He's given us His righteousness, and it's a loving relationship that we have. I love how Ephesians puts it this way. Ephesians 2, verse 4 through 9. It's on page 966 in the Bible that we gave you. But it talks about the riches and the goodness of God's grace. And this is really why we celebrate Christmas, the story of grace, of God coming down in form of a man, living a perfect life, dying on the cross, raising again, this gospel. It says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loves us. God loves us. As a people, just think about that right now. God loves you. He knows what's on your list. He knows what you can afford and what your trials and everything you're going through. He loves us. He really does. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, when we weren't even coming to church, even before we knew about Him and we were worshiping Him and giving Him thanks, and we were just doing our own thing, selfish jerks, whatever. The Bible says children of wrath. He made us alive together with Christ, and by grace you have been saved and raised us up with Him, unseated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. When we look at the gospel and we look at everything that God has done, all we can do as Christians and as people is just boast in the God. Just give glory to God. Just give thanks. Just be totally dumbfounded of how amazingly stupid God is. Like, it just doesn't make sense. You love someone like me, and you know everything about my heart. And the Bible reiterates this over and over again. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Look at that. That's twice in this little section. Grace, you've been saved. Grace, grace, grace. You can't earn your salvation. You can't join a church and just expect to be born again. You have to put your faith in Jesus. And this is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God. It is a gift. There is the principle of you reap what you sow, but the reality is our salvation is all based on who God is, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. So, grace. We're focusing on grace, and here's what I want to ask us and talk about today is how should we respond? It's Christmas time. We received the grace of God. He's given us prophecy, his word. He's come down as a man. This is amazing. This is incredible. This is epic. And here's the thing, if we're not careful, we can easily take for granted the grace of God, thinking that we are dealing with someone like Santa, thinking that we're dealing with someone who is just out to get us, that's not loving, that's not kind, and just this legalistic gift giver. Well, I give good gifts, but you haven't been that good, so. No, God gives the gifts. How to respond to that in a grace way? Because entitlement is not attractive. And we just expect so much from God. But why do we expect that? Is it a good expectancy based on his goodness, or is it based on ours? And the Bible over and over again says that, man, even if we're faithless, he is faithful because he cannot deny himself. What he says in his word, how he deals with, really is who he is. And James says he's the father of all good gifts. And he gives those things liberally, by grace, unmerited. So we're to be a people of thanks. 1 Thessalonians says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. What is our appropriate response? If you're taking notes, I want to guide your attention to Luke chapter 2. We're going to read the Christmas story again, and now we're going to focus on our response to God's grace. So last week, it was all about the grace of God and how he gives us these things. Well, how should we respond? Because You ever have that? You ever see that where a kid gets a gift and they just open it and they're just like, whatever, and they move on? Like, you know, like as a parent, that's like the worst. You're embarrassed. If your kid opens a gift from someone and they don't say thank you, you want to smack them. Like, what do you say? You know, and it's almost like childish, right? Okay, oh, Bobby, well, Jeremiah, what do you say to Bobby for giving you that gift? Thank you. Even if they don't like it, they got to say thank you, right? And I think as Christians, we need to be walking around with an appropriate response to God's grace. It says God's grace changes us, and he loves us and cares about us. And some of us, we're just walking around, not even saying thank you, like flicking God off, like, okay, whatever, it's cool. It's God's grace. It's a great gift, whatever. Or we even have that, like, you could say thank you, but then you could say it, like, with a tone where it's, like, just rude, like, thank you. Like, you just got socks or something. Like, right, everyone was talking about the illustration last week, like, I didn't get you some socks. Don't give me some socks. I'm just trying to help you, you know, understand the Bible. Sometimes when I use the illustrations, they are silly and they're fun, but I'm trying to make an extreme point so you know something about something, right? I'm trying to teach you. It's my job for you. And when Jeremiah, when he says the right thing a lot of times, but he says it wrongly. You know what I'm talking about? Like, yes. Like, how's it going to take you 17 seconds to say yes? That's just rude. Get out of here, you know? You have to have an appropriate response. So what I want to do today is I want to look at three characters in the Christmas story. You're probably familiar with them. Joseph, Mary, and the shepherds. And I want to show you how God just poured out his grace upon them. Undeserved, unmerited, it was just epic, it was incredible, it was awesome. But what can we learn from these responses to help us today? Because guess what? God is giving us undeserved, unmerited favor today. He loves us, he cares about us, and he does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we see in these characters that the appropriate response for us is to accept the gift. We should accept it. We should say thank you. And we should enjoy it. These are just like almost common sense things, but the reality is when it comes to grace and God's grace especially, a lot of people don't even accept it. A lot of people don't even say thank you, and certainly some Christians and people, they don't even enjoy the grace of God. And I just want to show you that the Bible actually teaches a different thing, that we should actually be people of thanks, that that is the will of God. So I'm going to have Bethany come on up and read the story. It's 21 verses, and here's the reality. I just thought it would be epic and awesome to have someone read it in an accent. Because accents make everything better, all right? So let me get you a mic, and we'll do Luke chapter 2. If it's in a Bible that we gave you, it's page 857. It's a little long. I think I have the ESV on the screen, and you're probably going to read from Amplified or something like that. I don't know whatever version your Bible is, but we'll follow along either way. Well, hey, let's do what we normally do. Here's the reality. We're a church that loves the Bible. We believe that the Bible is God's word. It speaks to us. It builds our faith. It is the final authority. I have some thoughts and comments on it, but the reality is only the Holy Spirit can give you the revelation that we need. And let's pray to Him and ask Jesus to speak to His people. So we read the Scripture and then we study it. So let's pray and do that. Jesus, we thank You so much for Your word. We thank You, God, so much for being Emmanuel, Lord, giving Your name Jesus, which means God of salvation. You are the true and living God, three in one, and we worship You, Lord. We might not understand everything all the time, and You never ask us to, God. You ask us to put our faith in You, for it's impossible to please You without faith. And You've given us enough to know You, Jesus, Lord. So we search the Scripture, not trying to just get a one-way ticket to heaven, but, Lord, ultimately to know You. We want that life that You promised, that abundant life. And Jesus, we want to respond appropriately to Your grace. Lord, sometimes a message of grace, it seems like we've heard it over and over and over again, and yet Your Spirit is so good, He just reminds us how we need to hear it over and over and over again, how grace is so amazing, it's so incredible. And I pray, Lord, that You would give us that insight and that revelation, that we can just revel in Your goodness, in Your glory. Lord, encourage those that are here, that there is no condemnation in You, that Your love doesn't separate. Lord, nothing can separate them from Your love, not even themselves, not the sin. Lord, no principality, nothing in this world can separate us from Your everlasting, steadfast love. So God, thank You that this is a house of prayer. Thank You that You are here, we are talking to You, that You are real. You want to do great work in our hearts. God, we do continue to pray for those people in the holidays that are suffering a little bit harder, that are discomfort, that are not away with family or maybe here separated, Lord. We thank You, God, that You're a God of comfort. We ask, Lord, that You would do that. Lord, we trust You to bring glory to Yourself through this time. Thank You, God, for the privilege to be able to share and speak and have fun and enjoy Your grace. In this holiday season, may we understand that even more, God. Amen. Amen. Well, God's grace, it's amazing. The angels in this story, they shout, the heavenly host, they tell us in verse 11 that, "For unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord," the Messiah, the Anointed One. There had been a problem with mankind. It had all gone downhill. There was Adam and Eve, and they fell, and there was sin, and sin separated. The Bible says sin brought death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. And God had prophesied from far back that He would send someone, Himself, that God would come as man and bear the burden that we couldn't bear and live a perfect life that we couldn't, and then He would die and rise again. And God is faithful to His word. He always is. He's so good and so amazing, and He gives grace for all mankind, bringing redemption, restoration, salvation, life. And Jesus came on the scene saying, "Repent, turn to God, for the kingdom of God is at hand." We have to turn to Him. We have to receive this grace. We have to accept it. And that's the first thing that I see in this passage is with Joseph. Not a lot is mentioned about Joseph in Scripture. A lot of scholars even say later on in life that he may have died or passed away because he just wasn't mentioned. The only time you see when Jesus was actually in His ministry in 30 mentioning Joseph, They were really calling him a nasty word, saying his mom was like a whore, tramp. You know, his dad left him or was gone. And they were using this to make fun of him. But we see in this passage how God's grace was poured out upon Joseph. The first thing I see for an appropriate response for us as people and how Joseph responded was just simply this. When God gives us grace, we have to accept it. You have to accept it. This is something that I think a lot of people blow by and they don't understand, but you really have to receive a gift, right? Like when a Christmas present is under the tree, you actually have to grab it and open it. Usually there's a name on it with your name so you can identify it, get it, and then just go ballistic on Christmas. But if you just let it be and say, oh, no, I'm good. I don't want that gift. I'm not going to open it. It's cool. That does you no good. You have to actually open it up, see what it is, experience it, appreciate it. And when God gives us grace, we actually have to accept it. In verse 4, it says, Joseph also went up from Galilee in the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David. Now, God, by his grace, chose Joseph to be his earthly dad. By his grace. Now, in Matthew chapter 1, it talks about how Joseph was a righteous man. He was walking with God. Because if a girl had become pregnant, usually it was because of intercourse. That's usually how that whole thing works, right? But we're talking about a virgin birth. And they were betrothed to get married, but Joseph had not had sex with Mary. Okay? So he was a little upset. But he said, I'm not going to stone her, because that was actually the right, just law thing to do. An affair, something like take place, you get stoned back in the day. He said, I'm just going to brush it off, because I love her, I care about her, and I'm just going to let her go and put her on her way. But then the grace of God came in his life. How would you say? Well, by an angel. An angel appeared to Joseph and said, hey, don't do that. Mary has actually been given a gift, this amazing privilege to have the Savior, to bear a Savior. She's a virgin. Accept her. So it says that he was righteous, but yet he was going to blow her off and not even have anything to do with her. But then God intervened with an angel and said, no. And you know what he did? He obeyed. See, when we accept God's grace, the way we accept God's grace is we yield to what his word says. We yield to what he wants for our lives. It's called obedience. We're saved by grace, and we repent. We say, God, I don't want to do my own thing. I surrender my will, my act to you, Lord. I love you. I want to obey you, serve you. Thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Your kingdom come. A way we receive grace is with open hands. Saying, okay, I receive. Thank you for whatever you've given me and placed me. You accept it. And Joseph, a righteous man, even a religious man, still had to have grace. It wasn't something where he was a righteous man and he was in a privileged town and he had all the right background. He went to church. No. He had grace in another way, because it says that they were going to the city of David, Bethlehem. Well, Joseph, like we talked about Jesus, like Jesus was prophesied to be born in Bethlehem. Micah 5:2 tells us that. But it was also prophesied that the Messiah in 2 Samuel 7, the Messiah would come out of the lineage of David. And you know what? Joseph, he couldn't pick where he was born, could he? Could you guys all pick where you were born? Sometimes I wish I was born in Delray Beach, because it's just such an amazing city. True Floridian, how awesome would that be? But I had no deal. I had no chance. God sent me here, that's great. But I had no control of where I was going to be born at, and neither did Joseph. But it said that he was born in Bethlehem, that he was the lineage of David, that from the town of Nazareth. Don't you find it interesting that Joseph went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to the city of David, which is Bethlehem? And so he had to be born from a lineage of David, but yet he had to be born in a specific no-name city. How is that going to take place? It's called grace. God had a plan. So he chose Joseph for this time and this place to work, to actually affirm his power, his prophecy, his word, all this different stuff through Joseph. Because there was a big census going on, Joseph had to leave his hometown, go all the way over there with his pregnant wife, and then Jesus was born in Bethlehem. This was God ordained and planned, and he was the only one that was going to make it happen, and it was by his grace. Joseph met grace. And how do we see Joseph respond to this grace? He yielded his life to him. He didn't divorce his wife. Because betrothal was even more than the engagement. It was like he was preparing a house, a place. It was on. And he accepted God's plan for him. This seems simple, but many people don't even accept the grace of God when they don't repent and obey. God has given us the great gift of salvation, right? A free gift, he says. He wants people to worship Jesus. He wants people to worship him. He's made himself known. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave. It was a gift that he has given to all of the world. This grace is for all people. Doesn't matter what your background is. Some people try to cop out like, you know, Christianity is a Western thing. It's not. I preach the gospel in many different cities and people that have millions of dollars and people that are in slums. And the gospel is the power to save. It is God's plan. It is righteousness. It is a beautiful gift. And all who believe have everlasting life. But you have to believe. And the Bible says when you have faith, when you believe something, it actually produces works. There's a momentum force. So the Bible talks about don't go your way, repent and believe. It's the receiving of God. 1 John 1:12 says, but to all who did receive him, speaking of Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Grace is for everyone, but sadly, not everyone receives the grace of God, this free gift of following Jesus and accepting it. And the first thing we have to do to enjoy the gift, to actually receive it, open it up, enjoy it, right? It's doing us no good. In Revelation 3:20, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. And it just makes me think, how many people do I know that maybe even come to church or are around our group? Because we have quite a following in downtown Delray. We have quite a following in our community. There's a lot of non-believers that hang out with us. But the question that we have to ask them is, have you actually received this gift? Because it does you no good if you just get the benefits of hanging out with us. Yes, we have this joy, this peace, and all this different stuff, but we need to be bearers of good news and say, hey, what are you going to do about Jesus? Have you accepted it? You're not saved by works. But you have to receive the gift. You have to repent and turn to Jesus. There is this gospel that we are to proclaim. And we have to do this with our friends, with our family. Jesus is a gentleman and he knocks at people's doors. Their hearts. I want to come in. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to know you. But he's not going to force himself because he's loving. He gives people a choice. And this is grace. An appropriate response to God's grace is a yielded life, acceptance, and obedience. And that's exactly what Joseph did. And it's what Mary did too. Mary goes on the scene in verse 5 through 7. But she has a little thing that we can learn from. She not only accepted God's gift, but she had an appropriate response of giving thanks. Okay? What do I mean by that? Well, Mary, it says, his betrothed, was with child, verse 6, and while they were there, the time came to give her birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for him in the inn. We as Protestants don't do a very good job of esteeming Mary. Just say it. She gave birth to Jesus. The Bible over and over again says that this was an act of grace and it was favor. In Luke chapter 1, the angel appeared to Mary and said this to her. He came to her and said, greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Again, favor, unmerited favor, grace. She would say, you want proof? Your aunt, cousin over there, Elizabeth, she's actually pregnant. Go visit her. She met Elizabeth, and Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptist, as we know. His got filled with the Spirit even in the womb. He jumped, and she goes, wow, you were blessed, Mary. This is incredible. You found favor. In verse 42 of chapter 1, she says, blessed are among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. That she is esteemed a blessed woman to bear the Messiah. Virgin birth. Pretty incredible. And you may say, well, Mary, she was like perfect. She was awesome. I mean, really, she had saved herself in purity. That's why God chose her. Yeah, God did choose her because of her virgin birth. She needed to have a virgin birth. It was prophesied. Even we read it. It's in Isaiah. It's found all over the scripture. However, the cool thing about this is we see that she gave thanks and immediately worshiped the Lord and recognized that it was favor. She, you know, like, it's lame when you give a person a gift and they're like, yeah, I deserve that. Like, this is how I give gifts, right? I try to blow people's minds, right? I mean, like, if you have a budget of, like, $100, I'll go, like, $150 and just spoil you. And you're like, oh, this is so amazing. You love me so much. It's incredible. Oh, it's not... No? You guys don't do that? Okay, fine. Cool. Whatever. That's just me. I'm not really good at budgets. But so I try to, like, blow their minds and try to do that. And it's so lame when they're just like, eh. Like, that's it? I totally deserve it? What else? They're, like, looking around. You're like, no, dude, Like with kids, that happens all the time. They get super excited. You give them this amazing gift. You spend like all this money and time. And you think, okay, this is it. This is awesome. They're just going to have a meltdown and start crying and giving me a speech saying, you were the best father in all of the world. And then they just open the gift and they're like, "What? Where's the rest of it?" Like, I was just talking to Alex and he was saying he knew someone that wanted to give their kid a phone, their young kid a phone. Because, you know, to stay in communication with them. But the kid wouldn't even receive it because it was only an iPhone S, like an iPhone 5S. It wasn't the brand new iPhone 6. So the kid was like, I don't even want that phone. Like, that's just horrible, isn't it? That is awful. And see, Mary, although we do believe that she is blessed, listen, the Bible teaches clearly that there is no one God, there is no one righteous besides God. That we have one mediator between God and man, who is Jesus. 1 Timothy 2:5 says that. So we don't pray to Mary. We don't count her as God, but we do say that she did find favor from the Lord. And God did use her in a great and mighty way. And yes, she did save herself. And yes, she was a virgin. And yes, she was doing the right thing. And you know what? God finds favor for people that are sinners and jacked up. And he finds people that are actually following him as well. It's grace. It's not that she earned it. And she did something amazing. And it's in Luke chapter 1. I'm going to read you this. It's called Mary's magnificent, like, basically response, a song. There's even been songs, like, with music to this. But just hear her. Because when the angel came to her, she was even shocked and fearful. She was like, oh, wait, what? Why? What? She's trying to discern the spirit. Like, what's going on? Really, me? Is this? She's not thinking like, yes, I am floating. I am a halo. I am a god. Yes, of course you should come to me. She was humble, and she was amazed that God would even give her this grace, and she was thankful. And it's a beautiful response that we should have when God would choose us before the foundations of the earth, as we can actually know him and love him and serve him and worship him. So in Mary chapter 1, verse 46 through 55, she says, and Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has, they're singing happy birthday to Jesus. Come on, you just got, that's cute. You just forget about him. That's great. Yay! Happy birthday. Okay. All right, her response. My soul magnifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has, oh, you know what? I had that on the screen because I knew it was a long time. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. She's referring to her as a servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of the humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, and he has spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever. This clearly doesn't sound like someone that deserves it. All she's doing is giving forth praise to God of how good he is. And this should be our response with God's grace. Not how awesome we are, but how awesome God is. And we see even in this text in verse 19, it says that Mary, she treasured all these things up and pondered in her heart. She just kept on pondering and meditating and thinking about it in her heart. And the Bible says that in your heart, your mouth speaks. And we actually see in that verse that her mouth was speaking and giving rejoicing because she was obedient. She was like Joseph. The Mary said, "Behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." She was willing and she was a servant and she said, "Yes, I'm going to do that." But she also does an appropriate response of giving thanks to the Lord. Not, "I'm going to do that," and drudgery, or "I have to do that." But she was actually humbled and believed in God's word, went to go visit Elizabeth. And it wasn't just a one thing time in the beginning. It was over and over again, because we even see in Acts chapter 1, the great day of Pentecost, verse 14, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was actually there in the upper room. She was a disciple of her own son. She had pondered in her heart, she had thought, she had seen this perfect little boy raise up and keep on going and growing and doing ministry and loving the Lord and all this different stuff. And she worshiped Jesus. She loved Jesus as a son and as a savior. And she got the privilege to be able to raise this little boy to a young man and to see him grow. And man, that just encourages me, because it shows me that I can obey God, but it doesn't just have to be obedience. It can be obedience because of love. Right? And that makes all the difference. The Bible always talks about that. The Bible talks about how we obey not just because we have to, because he's God, and we have no choice, we just have to. No, we actually obey because he's so awesome and we love him. It's a response. And because she was grateful and a grateful heart, she was giving thanks and she was opening the present and saying thank you. And it just shows me, man, do I regularly give thanks to God? How do I respond appropriately to the things that he's put on my plate? Because again, it wasn't like this was the Hilton Inn. This was still a trial that God was using in her life. But through that trial and that discomfort and that attitude of submission, she was so blessed to be able to give birth to the Messiah. And her response was just like, "Thank you. God, I love you. This is incredible." And I pray that as we focus on grace, our appropriate response would have a grateful heart like Mary. That we can, yes, obey, but obey in love. Because if we do things without love, the motivation just is everything. And lastly, you see Joseph, you see Mary, but you see this other whole flock, these other whole people and characters of the shepherds. And the shepherds teach us that, man, we can receive God's grace. We can say thank you a lot. But the shepherds teach us that God's not a killjoy. That we can actually enjoy God's grace. That we can enjoy him. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, in verse 8, it says, "The same region there were shepherds out of the field, keeping watch over the flock by night." It was swing shift. It was the shepherds. They were doing their normal thing. There was nothing special about the night, I'm sure. "And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear." They had no idea what was going on. It's like they were doing their own thing. They were doing their normal routine. They were probably understandable. The census was going on. They were probably out in the field more, working harder because there was no room and everything was packed. And all of a sudden, boom, God's grace just hit them. Angel came and said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto us, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." See, God sent the angel to Joseph, who the Bible says is righteous. Mary, who may have even kept herself, so that's some virtuous stuff. But then the angel appears to the shepherds. And the shepherds, let me just tell you, they were like the lowlifes of society. They were the curse. You didn't really want to hang out with the shepherds. One commentary said this: "The first announcement of the Messiah's birth was given by an angel to some anonymous shepherds. Why shepherds? Well, why not priests or scribes? By visiting the shepherds, the angel revealed that the grace of God was toward all mankind. Shepherds were really outcast in Israel. Their work not only made them ceremonial and clean, but it kept them away from the temple for weeks at a time. So they couldn't be made clean even that way. God does not call the rich and the mighty. He calls the poor and the lowly." You even see this because I think sometimes we have that passage in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And we have a high esteem of shepherds. However, God always puts himself in us. in our situation. God became man with us. Just like God, the Almighty God, became flesh, Jesus. And he identifies himself as a shepherd, but that's something amazing because you remember in Genesis when Joseph went to Egypt and his whole family were shepherds. That was actually a curse by the Egyptians. They were like, oh, shepherds, and they can go over there. No, we're just lowly shepherds. This is just who we are. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the whole fam. Even King David, when Samuel went to go anoint a new king, David's own dad didn't bring David to the picking party because he was just a lowly shepherd out in the fields. And Samuel said, you know, he was like, well, where's your bring all your boys. I want to pick a king. I want to choose one. And the dad even was like, okay, I got to get, these are my boys right here. And Samuel goes, no, it's not you, it's not you, it's not you, it's not you. Are you sure this is all? And he goes, well, I mean, there's David, but he's just a shepherd. Like, he's out in the field. He's a nobody. He's just a boy. He's nothing. And God chose David to be the king, for the Messiah to be chosen out of the line of David, a little shepherd boy, a lonely, humble servant, non-religious, couldn't go to the temple every week, had to be with them 24 hours a day, smelly, stinky, caring shepherd. And God appeared to the shepherds, the lowlifes of the society. And it made me thought, well, you remember Jesus coming on the scene. He said, I didn't come to heal those that were well. I came to heal those that were sick. I came to seek and save the lost, those that are broken. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And the shepherds show us that God's grace is for everyone, for everyone. And the shepherds show us that they could be excited about this grace because they were stinking stoked. They received this gift by seeking God immediately. The angel said, oh, he's right there. And it said they went with haste. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem to see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and found Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. They obeyed immediately. It's like, okay, you accept the gift, so you take the gift out of the tree and you open it up and you say thank you, that's awesome. But what good is that gift if you can't enjoy it? Like, as a dad, here's what I know. If I get my son an amazing gift, it ain't going to matter the day of Christmas if it needs AA batteries and I don't have any AA batteries. How lame is that? Right? Like, you buy a gift for your kid and it needs like 4D batteries, like a remote control car, and they're super stoked. Oh, this is amazing! They receive it. This is so, Dad, you were the best! Let me just give you 30 seconds of gratitude and thanks. This is so awesome! And then it just goes all down because everything is closed on Christmas and you ain't got no batteries. Lame. You're not enjoying it. And the shepherds, they were the people that were just like, oh my gosh, I can actually accept this and have it change my life and be a part. This is like, I can experience this. This is for me. This is amazing. And one of the great signs of something amazing is telling other people about it. It said they went off and they told this person and they were rejoicing. And hey, have you guys heard? I mean, we know this even today with like Yelp. You guys know when you want to find a new restaurant, a new area, you go to like an app to get the reviews. Because if there's tons of bad reviews, word of mouth still appeals today. You're going to be like, no, I'm okay. I don't want to eat there. You know, found cockroach in food. Oh, thank you. Not going there, right? This is the most amazing place ever. You hear that over and over and over again. You're going to be like, I think I want to go try that place out. And the shepherds had experienced grace and found this thing and were so caught up and so amazed, they were rejoicing. And it said in verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. God wants us to experience joy with his grace. He wants to experience his love. Being a Christian is not a killjoy. Psalm 16:11 says, you make known the path of life, and in your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. When they realized how special God's grace was, they were eager to tell people and share that. And I think sometimes because we're not focusing on God and his grace and how amazing this gospel truly is, we forget the whole point. We don't share. It's sort of like the stocking, the Christmas stocking, right? The Christmas stocking is sort of like It's not the big gifts, it's more the lower gifts, but it's the awesomest gift as you're a kid because it's mostly the candy. Like me, I was a hoarder, so when I was a kid, I used to have the Christmas stocking and there was like tons of candy, and I would save my candy for like 2 or 3 weeks. And my brothers would just like tear it down, you know, and eat it and stuff like that, but I'd have my candy for like 2 weeks. And it'd be like day 11, and I'd be like, "What are you about to do?" "Oh, nothing. What are you about to do?" "I'm about to eat a Snicker for my Christmas candy." You know, like, I would hide under my pillow because my brother would be like, "I'm all done with my candy. Give me that. I'm going to beat you up. I want some of that candy." You know, like, you'd have to hoard it and guard it. And I feel like I'm sharing my stone. I get no response, people. This is just me and candy. I don't know. But here's the reality, is when you experience grace and you are saved by grace and you know God's grace is so good, you don't care about sharing because you know the grace is just for everyone. You understand that it's not like in 2 weeks and it's going to be done. You just got to hold on and share it. A lot of Christians, they're legalists, they're uptight, and they're killjoy because if that person is better than them, then it makes them look bad. So they have to compare and analyze, and, "Well, I did this, and you did this, and I can't share that sin, because if I share that, then that makes you look better, and it's God's grace. Enjoy it. You screwed up. Great. God forgives you. Amen. Praise God. This is incredible. You don't have to hoard it. You can actually go around being like, it's grace for all. This is amazing. Hey, I'm a sinner, and I'm a pastor. Praise God, because God is good. He sustains. It's His grace, and it actually causes you to have that power, that strength, that thing that can actually enjoy Jesus. Because if you're basing your relationship on Jesus, on your behavior, you are going to feel horrible when you do a bad job. Right? You're just going to feel bad. It's going to feel awful. Sin separates, isolates. And the Bible says to relieve that sin is not to become better and basing things off of your works. It's actually to confess your sin before God and base things off of grace, unmerited. So when you sin and when you blow it, now you're just like, "Well, God, I didn't deserve it. I still don't deserve it. All right, this is awesome. Thank you." And you get to enjoy Him. And it says, "At Jesus you make known the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At the right hand there are pleasures forevermore." And you see these shepherds glorifying and praising God because at the greatest extent of it, they knew what grace was. They weren't supposed to be getting that announcement. And they understood they were saved by grace, so it helped them enjoy it and receive it and be thankful and grateful. And it shows us when we realize the grace of God is for everyone, including us, we can actually enjoy the grace of God and tell other people about it. And just it's simple things, right? In the text, Jesus came, He saved, He loves, it's all grace. But I think that these responses really make a big difference because the Bible says that we're saved by accepting Jesus. That it's His will for us in our life to give thanks to Him. That we should be proclaiming Jesus to other people and preaching the gospel, but if we're not focused on grace, it's really going to damage that message. And we can accept it, we could be thankful and yield our lives to the Lord and just enjoy Him. Because it's all about Jesus. And when you make that about your life, you get to glorify God and you get to praise Him and just enjoy His grace. I'm going to have Travis come on up here, and we're going to sing, and we're going to have a response of singing and worship. And I don't know where you're at, but you should be answering these questions of how do I need to respond to God's grace? What does that look like for me? What do I need to do with the gift of Jesus today? It's Christmas season. Jesus came, but He is alive. He is not a baby. He is an amazing King. He's the Lord of Lords. And, you know, have we accepted Him as our Savior? Is He really that gift of salvation? Have we yielded our lives and repented and turned to Him? Or do we just simply need to say thank you? You know, there's a lot of Christians serving the Lord, but they're really not happy because they're not really thanking God for His grace. They're thinking they have to earn it and prove them their love to God. Or here's one I wrote down. Are you trying to be a Christian on your own strength, not walking in the gift of the Holy Spirit to overflow your heart with love? A lot of people thank God a lot, but they're just not walking in the fullness and the joy of the Holy Spirit and His presence and confessing their sin and having God flow from their life. Maybe you've accepted Jesus and you're thankful, but you're not living in the plans He has for you. You know what's right, but you just don't do it. Do you need to obey God in a certain area of your life to enjoy His grace more? See, it doesn't really matter where we're at because we all need grace. Believer, non-believer, it doesn't matter. We can't earn grace. We just need it. So we cry out before God. We sing praises. We pray. We take this time to respond to Him. And we just say, Lord, we need You. We humble ourselves saying we're not God. And we ask for God's grace. And He tells us that when we do this, we can actually obey Him by love. We can enjoy Him. And this can actually be something that is amazing. The grace of God. God came down in flesh. So today I pray that we can accept God's grace. We can say thank You. We can enjoy Him. And what we're going to do now is remember the work that He did. That it was grace that we were saved. Jesus said that when you gather together to take communion, the bread and the juice, signifying His body was broken for you, His blood was shed for you because we are saved by grace. So He even tells Christians, when you gather around and worship Me and gather and do those things, remember it's grace. Remember that if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you. Remember that when you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you're saved. That nothing can separate you, that Jesus cried on the cross, it is finished, it is over, it is done. And rather than thinking about your imperfections, let's worship a God who is so perfect and so holy and amazing that He can even boggle our minds and come form in a man, forgive us of all of our sins, and give us righteousness. And He says, when we do that, man, we'll have rivers of living water, this flow, this love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. When we abide in Christ, we'll actually have love in our lives. So let's all stand. I want to pray, and then as we sing this next song, the elements are in the back. This is your time to partake by faith in communion, to accept Jesus, to cry out to Him, to ask Him to forgive your sins. And guys, He is faithful. He loves us. This grace, this joy, this glory to God is for us today. He is alive and well. Jesus, thank You so much for the grace that You have for all of us, Lord. You know us each individually and collectively, Lord. You know the vision of this church, of how we want to make a big deal about You, how we love You, how You changed our lives, God. And we want to give back the little that we can. It's pathetic. It really is pathetic, the little that we can give You, God. So we don't even try to compare our big step of faith, Lord, but we just say, meet us where we're at and the little faith and adventure that we need to, Lord. Help us in our little seat of faith to trust You again. Lord, we trust You. There's no condemnation in You, that You love us unconditionally, that Your grace is for us today, that You are the reason for our lives, and we surrender to You. We give You thanks, God. Help us to enjoy grace, to enjoy You, to preach this gospel, to be unashamed. God, we know that we get made fun of sometimes being so about the gospel, being so about Your grace. Lord, but we experience You and we know the power of God in us as we accept this. So may we receive You today. May we cry out that it is finished, that You are God and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we're so grateful for this time that we can realize this and remember this. And the busyness of the chaos and the holidays and the gift exchange, all this different stuff, Lord, may we just enjoy You in Your presence. Now, Lord, as we go back to the table and take the bread and the juice, may You continue to restore us, to renew us, to redeem us, training us to be holy as You are holy, Lord. We want to please You, we want to love You. Increase our love for You, Jesus.